Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, in the house, but we're not in the house. We're at
Grizzly Jig.
At the show.
Where everybody needs to be.
The big show. So yeah. You'll be seeing this afterwards, and if you're watching this, you probably didn't come to the show.
That's right. You missed out on a great time.
That's right. But we're lucky enough that, guess what? Craig's going to answer all our questions that we want to know about crappie fishing.
And if I don't have the answer, I'll lie to you about it.
He will too. No. No, you're good about that. Let's just start with a lot of people. This show will come out probably a month and a half. Let's just talk about spring crappie fishing. A lot of people have questions about spring crappie fishing. They want to rush out right away. Woo, it's a 60-degree day. The crappie will be biting up in 3 foot of water and spawning.
And they get disappointed.
Very much. So let's talk about, take us through the stage. Maybe water temperatures or, you know, as spring goes.
So what I'm looking for, you know, right now, our water temperatures are cold. Okay,
yes.
We're getting into that time of the year, though. We're going to have a little bit more winter, and then things are going to start warming up. Days are going to get longer. They're going to get prettier. People are going to start getting excited about going fishing. I'm still watching that water temperature. Uh-huh. When that water temperature hits about 50 degrees surface temperature, those fish are going to start pulling off that winter pattern, and they're going to start making that push. They're going to start pushing up main river channels, main creek channels. They're going to peel off those and go into secondary creek channels. They're going to pull out onto main lake points. They're going to start moving up shallower and start suspending in open water. They're not going to relate to structure as much. Uh-huh. Honestly, that's my favorite time of year to catch these fish, because when these fish get moved in to the areas they want to spawn, they are going to be stacked in there. They're going to be ready to eat, and it's catching. It's not fishing. I mean, it is so fun.
So are these schools of roaming crappie that are in there, or is it just roaming crappie?
It's just roaming singles. Uh-huh. But, I mean, I have some key areas on Eufaula Lake, and it's going to be the same on any of these lakes. If you get into your really good spawning areas,
yes,
when these fish transition and start setting up to prepare for that, there's going to be thousands of fish in an area. Uh-huh. Not necessarily a school, but you may turn your scope here, catch one, turn the scope and not even move the boat and catch another one. And then you may scoot up 10 feet and there's two or three more. You catch them.
All right.
I mean, that is my very favorite time to guide crappie fishing trips is pre-spawn when these fish are staged up.
Okay. Let's talk about the people that don't have a live scope. Okay.
Okay.
So they're going out there fishing. How are they going to find fish? Because that also works for the people that have scope, and they haven't been out like you. They're not lucky enough to be on the water or they haven't been on the water enough to find these fish. How someone leaves, you know, boat ramp A, how do they go out and they find a crappie?
Okay. Well, they can still utilize their mapping.
Yep.
They can find these secondary creek channels. They can find these coves that have deep centers and pea gravel flats,
right.
And what I would do pre-live scope, I would go to these areas, I would start slip cork fishing with either a double jig rig,
uh-huh,
or a double minnow rig. I would start deeper, you know, 6-8 feet deep,
right,
and have the jigs about 18 inches apart, and I would slowly work that, and I would just start going shallower until I started getting bit. Once you find the depth that,
right,
those fish are holding, it's going to be consistent throughout that's the depth 90% of your fish. They may be 4 feet deep. They may be 8 foot deep. Once you find that depth that they're wanting to suspend at, that's their comfort zone in the water,
right,
temperature. Once you find that depth, you can still catch those fish consistently.
Right. And does it change throughout the day?
Yes. Uh-huh. Especially when you have bright, sunshiny, warmer days.
Right.
The further into the day we get, the shallower those fish come up, okay? And we're starting to see that already. When we got really cold weather right now, the water's
right,
cold, but on the fisheries I'm fishing at home, when we get those really bright, sunshiny days, a lot of times we're finding those fish 1.5-2 foot deep under the surface.
Yep.
Now, why are they doing that? Okay, they're just like us. They don't like to be cold. They like to be warm.
Yep.
So if you've got bright sunshine, hitting that water, not a lot of wind. That surface water's warming up, but those sun rays are penetrating that water. Those fish can pull up, and they can warm their bodies.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, so then you found them there, but guess what? They're 2 foot under the surface.
Mm-hmm.
How do you catch them?
You do that slip cork, foot and a half deep.
Foot and a half deep. You so betcha. You're spinning using a spinning rod and throwing over
yep.
to them.
And I liked, you know, that everybody's got their own rod preferences. Of course, mine's ACC. Right. We make a specific rod for slip cork fishing. All right. It's an 8-foot rod. It has bigger eyes throughout the rod so that your bobber stops won't tangle and you can cast it easier.
Okay.
If I'm going to slip cork fish, I'm going to get that 8-foot rod out. I'm going to start playing with the depths till I start catching fish. And then I'm going to do that everywhere I go if I'm not live scope fishing. And that's how we used to do it before live scope.
Right.
You know, I never was a spider rigger.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, the guys back then, the guys that dominated tournaments and your guides, they were all spider rigging. They had 8 rods out, 16 baits. They had them all staggered at different depths. And they would go through these staging areas, and when those rods started getting bit, they knew what depth. Then they would bring all the rods up or down to that depth, and then it's game on. They're catching fish all day.
Right. Well, let's talk about lures, because a lot of times in the spring, people have gone to, let's say, Store X. Or in this case, let's say they came to Grizzly Jig, and they were looking for lures. Let's break it down into maybe hair jigs and maybe some rubber jigs. There's two different things there, and maybe two different philosophies on why to use them.
My philosophy on hair jigs is cold water, very lethargic bite.
Right.
That's usually when I'm going to a hair jig.
Okay.
I'm a big bait guy. I mean, everybody's fishing 16th and 32nd ounce jigs right now with little bitty baits.
Right.
And I'm throwing a 1/8 ounce jig with a 3-inch swim bait on it.
Wow.
And I'm going to give you my theory on that.
Okay.
We talked about this in my seminar earlier. Some people were talking about it, asking me some questions. So right now we have no insects hatching.
Right.
We have no shad spawn going on.
Yep.
Right now the bait fish are at their maximum size. They're as big as they're going to get in their lifespan.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the crappie are feeding on. That's all there is. They're feeding on threadfin and gizzard shad, and they're eating 3 to 6 to 8 inch shad. So a lot of times, if you're not getting bit on those smaller baits, go up. Because that's what they're feeding on right now. There's no small fry for them to feed on.
Do you think that it's also more of a commitment, like that lure's coming to them? And it's a big bait. You have, like, flea
flight or fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I think when these fish are eating insects, small fry, they can actually nip that bait and play with it per se. They can cripple it just by pinching it. Okay, but when that 3 or 4 inch shad comes swimming by, they absolutely have to knock the fire out of it to kill it. So they have to kill that bait if they want to eat it. So I think you get a lot more aggressive bites with bigger baits.
We went down to Lake Washington last year, and didn't you throw a great big bait down there? That was it was at the end of February we were fishing in. It was right before there was a fishing tournament that's going to happen that week. We had a media event going on. Weren't you throwing you were throwing a big bait back then.
Throwing a big. We started off with small baits. We started off with a hair jig.
Yeah.
Caught one or two fish. The fish dealer really, they would look at it, not commit.
Right.
Tried a little bit bigger plastic, same thing, nothing really going on. Then I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to my tried and true technique. I pull out a 3-inch, big, bulky 3-inch bait, and it was game on.
Yeah.
We were catching so many fish. Brad put the camera down and he said, "I'm fishing."
That's right. We caught so many. I'm like, "Well, you're probably tired of fishing, so I'll fish some."
You bet.
I bought a license. I need
That's
to catch
right.
some.
You got to catch some fish.
A few of them, anyway.
That's right.
So, but yeah, we were. That was a smackdown. That's all that was happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when people go to someplace new or they haven't been there for a while and they show up in the spring, you show up to the boat ramp and yeah, it rained 3 days ago, but it's, you know, it hasn't rained in 2 days and the sun's been out and it's all pretty and you show up and it's mud. Now what do you do? What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the same thing. If I've been catching my fish in a pre-spawn pattern,
yeah,
I'm going right back to that pattern. I'm going to a brighter color. I'm going to a bigger bait.
Yeah.
You know, because the water's dirty, they're still going to eat, but they have to see that bait. Or I'm going to an action style bait, something that they can feel the vibration on and right, key in on and follow.
Are you big with paddle tails or
I do not? Like paddle tails.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I used to be really big into a 3-inch curly tail by Kalen Grubbs. It was a Kalen 3-inch triple threat grub.
Wow.
About as big around as your thumb, 3 inches
yeah,
long.
Huge.
Used to use them all the time. I don't know why I quit using them. I'm getting ready to start ordering some and start using them again because yeah, I have caught boatloads of fish with those big curly tail baits.
Mm. Yeah, I see a lot of people that are going to bigger baits, but they haven't really got into that curl tail. That curl tail thing. Is that when you were when you won the championship?
No.
Were you using one of those?
Nope.
What were you using when you won that? I'm sure I know you remember.
We were using some 3-inch like baby fluke type baits.
Wow.
We were using my partner was using a purple and chartreuse hair jig, and then I was throwing the bigger part of the day, I was throwing the bigger Bobby Garland slab hunter.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of got the big shad yeah, profile with yeah, a vibrating tail.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to do. Okay. One more thing where you pull up to the boat ramp. You pull up, beautiful day. It's Saturday. And guess what? You got there an hour after sunrise. But the entire parking lot is full. Like full, full, full. And all you can see is a bunch of trailers that have power brake stickers on their trailer. So you know it's a tournament.
Yep.
Tournament's pulled out of there. Now what are you going to do?
I'm still
You're an hour fishing. Late. All right.
But I'm probably going to be in the tournament.
I know. Let's just say you didn't get in
that
tournament.
But if I'm not and I show up.
Yeah, you know it's going to be crowded that day. You know it's a tournament. You got the weekend anglers. Everyone's out fishing.
Yep. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of look, see kind of where the bulk of the boats are hanging out. Are uh-huh, they hanging out in deeper water? Are they hanging out in shallower water?
Right.
Mid-depth. And because those tournament guys, they're going to know where those fish are at.
Right.
They've already done their homework. They've keyed in on this lake. Now they're trying to win a check and a trophy. So I'm going to kind of look and see what areas, types of areas of the lake that they're fishing.
Right.
I'm going to get away from them. I'm going to look at my map. I'm going to get away from the crowd. I'm going to go fish the same type of stuff they're fishing, just in a different area.
All right. Well, that's good information. So don't run away, you know, kind of look around
that's
and go
right,
fishing.
Yeah, there's no sense in first, going home. Because there's plenty of water to fish.
Yeah.
And even tournament fishing, I'm not yeah, the guy that likes to fish in a crowd. I mean, if I've keyed in on some big fish and half the field's there, I'm going somewhere else.
Right. So while you're here, we'll talk a little bit about power brakes. Tell us what power brakes are.
Okay, power brakes are a trolling motor system that was developed by Chad Clifton in uh-huh, Coweta, Oklahoma. They go on the back of your boat. When I won my national championship, live scoping brakes were unheard of. Nobody yeah, ever thought of it.
You caught
them
old
was,
school.
And, you know, it's old school fishing,
yeah,
you know, and things have evolved. They figured out how to put these trolling motors on the back of your boat. And I'm going to tell you with 100% honesty that having brakes on your boat is as big a game changer in boat control as your live scope is to fishing. It is everybody that puts them on their boat, fishes with them for a couple of weeks, like, hey, what do you think about them? They're like, I don't know how I ever caught fish without them.
Right.
I mean, it's just you can run faster, search faster. You can stop on a dime and make precision drops or casts on these fish, catch them, and go to the next one.
Yep. And so basically two trolling motors that are on the back of
the boat. Two trolling motors on
the
back. Power brake system
yep,
has two stomp switches. One will stop your boat.
Right.
The other one, you can use it to reverse the polarity on those, and it'll nudge your boat forward. That way, if you're fishing spooky fish, wind blows you back, you need to scoot up. You don't want to hit your front trolling motor and spook them. You just bump the nudge button for the back trolling motors, and it'll slide your boat forward and not spook the fish.
All right. There you go on that. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft bait. So anything you're trying to catch out there, and you may be putting your brakes on and making a cast, but it could be a bass, could be a crappie, could be, wow, could be about anything, but they have lures that'll catch everything. They have crankbaits, and that's the thing that's really getting hot right now. We have a lot of people that are looking at crankbaits, they're looking at the colors, and we have 42 different colors in Pico crankbaits in the deep diver, 14 in the shallow square bill. So check them out at picolures.com. You can also go to B&M Pole. B&M Pole, of course, has rods for every kind of fishing, from catfish to trout, brim. Wow, what else is there? Oh, I'll say crappie again. No, they got poles to catch everything. And so you can check out their entire line at bnmpole.com. Craig, if you want to find out more about you, where would they go?
They can look me up on Facebook at The Crappie Cowboy on Facebook.
Yep.
Same for my webpage, The Crappie Cowboy. You can pull up my webpage. Look us up there. Give us a call at Power Breaks. I'm probably going to be the one that answers the phone.
That's right. You
we can
do
talk
the work.
About breaks. We can talk about fishing, whatever they need to talk about.
All right. There you go. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp. Lures in the water.
That's right.